Welcome to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is where songwriters find inspiration every time. Nice to be back with you. My name's Carl Brody, and I'm speaking to you from the clifftops of Sydney, where it's a beautiful sunny day and springtime is here. Spring starts on the 1st of September and we're already on the 9th. And we've got beautiful fresh weather here. Nice sunny skies. I'm looking at the ocean and loving life as always. You know me by now. Always grateful. Thanks for being here, guys. Now, let's cut straight to today's topic. One of the things I like least about what I do is looking for my own gigs. So booking gigs, calling, trying to get gigs, asking people to love me constantly, trying to score festivals, tours, support gigs, anything. It's just not something I enjoy about what I do. So like I said before, I'm grateful that I get to do what I love doing in life. I'm really grateful. But one of the sides of it that I do not like is booking gigs. And now I run a couple of nights a month. I run every Tuesday night, I run a songwriter's night. So I have people reaching out to me all the time. So I'm on the receiving end of that too. And I know what I like to be on the receiving end of. So we're going to talk a little bit about that approach. You know, I'm much more likely to respond and look forward to meeting and giving a performance spot to someone who is more endearing. That's one of the things I do. I also, I run another couple of nights. I run a bluegrass night once a month and I run a showcase night, which is it's a bit more than a songwriter's night because I'm actually showcasing a full set. So 40 minutes or more of an act that I really like and someone who's supported my Tuesday night at the Bunker. If you're a regular follower of this podcast, you'll know what those things are. If not, we'll talk about them another time. But suffice to say, I'm an artist, a recording artist, and a touring artist, and I have done a lot of live shows. I average around 140 a year, and that has varied over the years from being made up of mostly festivals or a couple of festivals or no festivals. Actually, there hasn't been a year where I haven't done one festival for years and years and years. In fact, I think I've done a festival every year. Festivals are my favorite. So currently, I'll just give you a bit of a breakdown of my current situation, just in terms of whether or not you render me equipped to talk about this as well, because you know, some people think I have everything done for me. That used to be the case. And then I had an awakening a few years ago when I put out my first album without a record company. That was in 2013. I've been talking to you since then on these podcasts. And that was quite a change for me. And especially because most of the live shows that I've done that were more prestigious were all organized for me through someone else, through namely either a record company or my management that I had for years. And I was signed to major record companies and stuff. So people were just doing things for me everywhere. Now I'm virtually completely independent. I say virtually because I have a music publisher for my songwriting, and I also have, I have a distribution deal for my last album, so a lot of things were taken care of by these great guys at WJO Distribution, and my music publisher is Mushroom Music Publishing. They look after all my songwriting, I also have a pretty good support network of folk in the industry who will either advise or maybe put in a good word for me here or there. But I do come up against roadblocks, and I come up against hurdles when booking my own gigs, not to mention the fact that I don't like doing it. And there are some cases where I find it quite comfortable because I've got a good relationship, a good rapport with the people, from the venue or from the agency, or maybe I've had some history with a festival, that kind of thing. Sometimes it's comfortable for me, but in general, it's an area of the industry that I do not enjoy. And there are some of us that are cut out to go around telling people to love us, asking people to love us. And there are some of us that are not. And I think I'm the latter. I'd rather just let the music speak for itself, but it often doesn't quite fall on the ears of the listener, who is in the position to make those positions in the way that we would want it to. This goes for, you know, managers and record companies and publishers too, just because we may know for sure that it's a great song or even a great recording, it doesn't mean that they're going to hear it that way. So in terms of gigs, that's today's topic. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts on that. Let's start with, you know, I'll give you an example. This morning I was following, I spent a bit of this morning following up on some gigs I had already pitched for. And there was one in particular where this was the first email, took about 3 or 4 weeks to get a reply to. And then I finally got a reply. Then the reply sort of was a bit of wheeling and dealing, negotiating dollars and also dates. My reply was then unanswered for another 2 weeks. So this morning, last night I did yesterday I did a list for myself. I do a lot of lists these days, but my list was a new one. I hadn't done this before. I wrote a list called Things I Wish I'd Done Yesterday. And on that list was to follow up on this particular gig that I wanted to do in December. So I ended up this morning, I fired off a quick email after I'd been at the gym, so I was in the mood. Fired off a quick email. It was really friendly, really polite. It was the second one I had sent saying, so have we decided on that date yet? In December, love to hear back from you. I'm pretending to myself that I'm organized. So there's a bit of humor in there and a bit of, you know, making fun of myself as well as remaining entirely friendly. I could have taken a different approach altogether. Anyone who knows me knows that that's not my style to get angry or anything like that. But it did prompt an immediate reply. Another bit of a joke came back to me, talking about whether or not I'm organized. And I was offered a date straight away. And I was also at the same time offered a follow-up show in another town that is about an hour or so drive away from this particular show. So not only did I get an answer from my original request for a show and a booking, they gave me the information on a show in a nearby town so that I can follow through with my run of dates, make more money, and I got a contact and a recommendation. Now, if I had replied and said, you know, hey, come on, you could at least reply to me, or something even more angry or unfriendly, there's just no way I would have even got the show or the recommendation for the show the following day. So, in essence, what I'm saying is be likable. Be likable, be humble, yet confident. Speak about your act with confidence, but don't speak about your act as if you're the best thing ever. and mainly in uppercase, in big capital letters, be likable. It'll get you a lot further than being demanding. There's an age-old myth that says that, you know, your band man, old band managers who are not so friendly but who kick up a fuss and scream for what they want are more likely to get what they want. I disagree with that. I think that in particular the music industry has changed like that as well. I think in general, everyone I can see around this industry would much prefer to deal with a nicer person. So that would be the first thing. That would be my first recommendation. By the way, this podcast might come in two parts because I'm squeezing in a bit of recording before I do something else, which is about to happen. So forgive me if there's a bit of a change in the tone or the mood or whatever for the second half of this. But I thought, well, I'm in the mood to talk to you. I want to talk to you. And that's important. Okay, so the next thing is, if you are, I was lucky in that particular situation this morning. I was lucky. I do have a rapport with that venue. They know my music. They're familiar with my career. They're familiar with my status in the career, in my career, in the lifetime of my career, and so on. So that's a different story to presenting yourself for the first time to a venue. But just say, for example, you were. What are some of the things that you might have had to include in that pitch for the show? I simply had to let them know when I was next available and did that work for them. I didn't have to cover all the other stuff. I'm lucky in that situation, but I still have to do that with other venues and I don't particularly enjoy it. However, when I do, a couple of things that I like to think I have in place and have in place well are things like a good online presence. So if they've never heard of me before, then I would make sure I've got a good song somewhere online for them to listen to. A lot of people use SoundCloud. That's good. I use I use my own website. I use Facebook. I'm sure by now, if you're listening to a podcast, you know how to get yourself some music of your own online. And we might do another podcast about that another time, actually, and get some suggestions of who has found what to be the most effective. I don't spend a lot of time on that, to be honest, and I should. I think YouTube is probably the most effective. Let's have another podcast about that sometime, have a chat. So the two things that are really important are a good online presence for your music so it can be heard really quickly. I would not send an MP3, I would send a link. If you send an MP3, then someone's receiving a file that they maybe didn't want to receive. If you send a link, it's up to them whether or not they click on it. If it's YouTube or a reputable website, they're more likely to click on it than they are to want to open an MP3. A bio is really important as well. But especially if it's the first time they've heard of you, just keep it nice and short. Just keep a really brief history. Name a couple of influences. Don't say that you sound like any particular band. Just name the influences. There was a joke at one of the conferences I went to once when someone had his head in his hands and he said, "No, you do not sound like Radiohead. You can't possibly sound like Radiohead. And the other 300 bands that I got an email from this week can't possibly all sound like Radiohead," which I thought was pretty funny. So you just want to have a few key points, powerful points, in bullet point form even, of some of the things you've achieved or some of the things you want to achieve, a little bit of a history about where you've played before maybe, a little bit of a mention of the influences so that they know what kind of style you are. If you write metal, then they're not going to be welcome at a folk music festival, you know? These things are pretty standard. And also a photograph, just even a link to a page that includes all of that, or attach a nice promo picture representing a little bit of a character of what you look like. So those are the three things. It's not much, but personality is much. So if you bore them with two pages of bios, they're just going to skim over it anyway and look for the bullet points. So you might as well just give them a very short but powerful bio. and keep it endearing, humble, and confident. A nice picture and one or two songs. If you're lucky enough to have great footage on YouTube of you playing live somewhere else before, definitely use that, because that tells them straight away whether or not you're up to the standard that they would expect. Okay, I'm going to go on in part two of this very soon, because there's a lot of things I want to cover that will be complementary to the first part of this podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back real soon with the next half. Hey, friends, this seems like a good time to thank our show sponsors. Now, that happens to be me, because I don't have a third-party sponsor on board for this podcast at the time of recording this. I have got a couple of offers sitting there, but I'm not really taking on board anyone at the moment for a little while. I would like to eventually. For now, however, this episode is sponsored by 7-Step Songwriting. 7-Step Songwriting is a video course that I made for you guys. It's hosted on Vimeo, and it's basically an easy 7-step walkthrough of what I would consider a great companion to any songwriting experience. And I cover everything from the very first moments of the song, from your intro right through to the ending of the song, which a lot of people seem to see as of lesser importance. I certainly don't, and I know that your listener certainly doesn't. I'm sure that over the years you've got songs where you just love right to that very last moment, even if it's a fade out. The things you can do right on the fade out that matter. And some of my favorite songs and some of the classic songs that I've been listening to for years and years and years, if the very last moments of the fade out weren't there, I know that I'd miss them. Or if there was certain things that didn't happen at the beginning, in the middle, all the way throughout, and in the end, I know I'd miss them. So the course is a real simple 7-step walkthrough where I break down into episodes, actually, each section, starting with the intro, going through your verses, going through pre-choruses, choruses, bridges, middle eights, whatever you call them, instrumental sections, how to finish off with your last chorus, or depending on the structure of your song, wherever that section is going to be, and then the very ending. It's an easy to understand way of looking at how to construct songs that are engaging and dynamic throughout. Now, I'm not the best salesman in the world, but I can put in a little insert into this audio edit and call it a word from our sponsors, because this sponsor is me. So it's called 7-Step Songwriting, and you can find that at insidesongwriting.com/7-Step Songwriting, the number 7, insidesongwriting.com/7-Step Songwriting. And you can grab a 25% discount at the moment for being an awesome listener of the Inside Songwriting podcast by entering the coupon code 7STEP25. So the number 7, STEP2525. And you grab a 25% discount. It's super cheap. It's less than coffee. Works out at around $7 an episode. And if you take off the 25%, it's even cheaper. And also, for every course that I sell, I give $7.70 to UNICEF. Thanks, friends. I'll speak to you soon, and be safe out there. All the best. You've been listening to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. Here's hoping you're going to go and do everything you can to further develop your craft, your skills, and your mind to become a better and more consistent songwriter. I'll keep throwing dust down till I believe what I see. I'll keep throwing dust down, 'cause I think you are alive.